I appreciate the young folks. You know, they got a lot of zeal, a lot of excitement. And I appreciate that about the Lord, you know, what He can do down and deep in our hearts, our soul. We're going home with more than what we came with this week. Boy, it's been good, you know, since Monday night, it's been good to be here. Just want to thank the church and thank the cooks and thank the folks that all work hard. You know, I know how hard it is year by year. Our camp meeting back home is growing, and you know, the more that I spend time around these men, the more I realize, you know, that I have a lot to learn. But what I've learned, I've tried to put to practice, and I've known for some time now the hard work that goes behind the scene. And we come in and we enjoy, and, you know, we just get a place to stay. And, you know, but let's not take for granted what God does for us. Make preparations for us. And this week, it's just been good. We've had experience. A real visitation from heaven, what we might call a divine visitation. For God to come and make a visit on us, that's a strange thing to me. Bible says, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? You know, of all of God's creation, man alone was created with a mind and with a mouth, and, you know, to think on him and to talk to him. And God wanted to be glorified and magnified by loving man. And God loves man. He wants to fellowship. He wants to spend time with him. I believe he wants this week, it's been like that this week. God's been coming, showing up in the songs, amen? It seemed like every song, somebody got touched, somebody got moved. I don't know about you, but it stirred me up. Amen. It just kind of worked me over, you know, telling me, reminding me that God loves me. That God wants me involved with me. And that blessed my heart this week and those songs. And, well, let me tell you, you get into a service like this, man, you look out. You've got to buckle up. Amen? If it's not a song, it's going to be a sermon. Amen? If it's not a sermon, it's going to be a saint. Something's going to get a hold of you. There's enough thing going on in this place to just kind of get you, you know, to a place where, you know, you realize that God is in here, you know. He wants a fellowship with you and I. You know, and all to the glory of God Almighty. You know, we're reminded God is still on the throne. Amen. Nobody has unseated Him. Amen. He's not having a nervous breakdown. Amen. I don't think God has looked away this week. His concentration's been here, you know, and I believe he's not having no Malox moment, or he's not having no time out for Rolex. Hey, he's on his throne. And I'll tell you, but the thing he does, you know, is God, every once in a while, he leans down, you know. Things are well in the Father's house. Things are well in the church house. Hey, things are well at my house. Amen. I don't know about you, but since God moved in over 27 years ago, it's been good at my house. Amen. Amen. I'm glad that God settled this wall in and down. Amen. Hey, there used to be a time you didn't want to be around me. You didn't want nothing to do with me. But hey, when the good God of glory came in, He settled the wildness in this boy. I tell you what, there's been peace at the house, and I'm glad for the peace at the house of God this week. Amen. For the pleasant presence of God with the Holy Spirit. Amen. It's been good this week. I enjoyed. Amen. I'll tell you, when we get to the place in our lives where, you know, we forget about ourselves and let God have His way, He'll show up. Amen. He'll fellowship with us. Amen. I want you to take your Bibles and let's turn to Psalm chapter 62. I just want to read a verse there, unless I be accused of not reading no verse. Boy, that's serious, though. These brethren that preach here, my soul, I get humble every time I hear them preach there. They're a blessing to my heart. They're folks, they're men of God. I have never heard anybody, you know, come in here and criticize another preacher. All the time I've been here, I've never had anybody try to, you know, say things and talk down to men. Boy, that's been what I like about coming to this meeting. Well, I'll tell you what, there ain't no big shots, no little shots. Amen? Amen. I believe that, you know, if the more we keep it that way, the more we let the Spirit of God move in here, do His work. See, there's people across the country that are promoting it. Meetings like this, they're promoting their promoting their camps, and they're promoting their colleges, and they're promoting this. And boy, all that's good if you got some money and you got some time. Amen. But listen, I've never been nowhere except out on a reservation. But God saw fit to take an Indian boy who didn't know any education, didn't have no Bible teaching. But he know he just had the touch of God on him. Said, won't you just go out here and just start a work, amen? And we've been doing that now for several years. And God's raised up some boys. And we're just privileged this week to have some young preachers come with us, amen? For the first time, to be able to come and take in some real good drink of water from that well that man of God preached on. You know what? That's a blessing, amen. Look at the verse number 5 with me. It says, my soul, wait thou only upon God. For my expectation is from Him. I want to preach tonight. I said God came on this place with a divine visitation. Now I want to preach a little bit on this thought here. Divine expectation. Or, what does God expect me now that I've been in a meeting? When I leave this place, what does God expect from me? You know, you can expect God to show up and bless in a meeting, you know, when He is welcome. I like what my pastor says, God won't come where He's not wanted. Amen. And I believe that. But I believe this week, man, enough of us have showed up to say, we want God. Amen. Well, there's a whole bunch of people in this church that's just on God's cheering section. We want God. Amen. And God showed up. You think about this. You think, imagine what it's like in heaven. I mean, listen, as loud as it got last night, man. I mean, those guys were up here and they were swinging their ties. And well, I said, them Indians take their tie off, take their boots off. Look out! They're getting on the warpath. Amen. Them boots don't mean nothing no more. That tie don't mean nothing. But I was looking for one of them to chuck up a tomahawk. Well, he got plumb bedlam last night. But can you imagine? That's nothing compared to what goes on in heaven. Amen. Every time a sinner gets saved, hey, every time a person gets right, can you imagine what happens in heaven? Amen. Folks, some of you Baptists haven't got in this thing yet. Amen. Let me just serve you a notice tonight. There is no shouting 101 in heaven. Amen. The reason why we learn to get loud, the reason why we get excited, the reason why we just go out all out for God is because heaven is that way. Hey, if you don't like shouting, you're not going to enjoy heaven. I'll tell you what, when God comes in, man, I'll tell you, there's no telling what will happen. Amen. Let me tell you something. God is very interested in man. He wants to meet with men at every opportunity. Amen. I got one son over here. You know, all the people in this church. Brother Calvin only has one son. His name is Terrence. When some of these men or somebody says something about Brother Terrence, my ears perk up. And I don't say, oh, they're talking about my boy. I just don't really think I need to be. I just roll over there, beeline. Say, what are they talking about? Amen. I want to know what they're saying about my boy. I want to know what they got to say about my only son. Don't you imagine up in glory when we start talking about Jesus? Hey, all of a sudden heaven breaks loose and God comes down here and God says, I want to hear what you got to say about my son. Divine visitation. Or like we say, God showed up. You know, nobody likes to be alone. And you know, that's one thing I like about being among independent, fundamental, Bible believing. When I say that, I'm talking about the King James Bible. Amen. And I like to be around that crowd. And I'll tell you what, it's a blessing to be around God's people. He said this, my soul, wait thou only upon God. When God makes a visit, folks, we are the benefactors of it. Well, I mean, folks, we saved, blood-bought believers. I mean, Bible says my expectations from Him. We sure got something from Him this week. Amen. Let me say, you didn't get something from Him this week. It's your fault. I mean, folks, the lost crowd, they don't have no idea what we've been experiencing this week. They have no clue what I'm talking about tonight. I mean, the Bible says over there in 1 Peter chapter 4, it says, wherein they think it strange that you run not with them in their sin, amen, in their iniquities and all that mess, their wickedness and all that. Hey, look, you and I tonight, folks, we belong to a crowd that we might as well call strange, amen. Have people look at you and say, boy, you look kind of strange. Matter of fact, there's a strange smell about you, amen. And I'll tell you what, folks, it's more than that. Hey, I can't help but be strange because I have a strange birth. Amen. It wasn't water baptism. Amen. It wasn't church membership. But amen. One day the sweet Holy Ghost came by my way. And He said, you need a good bath, son. You need to jump into the fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. Hey, I got in that thing, folks. I got a strange birth. Not only that, but folks, I got a strange book. Amen. Hey, no book like our book. Hey, bless God. There's nothing like most of all like this book we got tonight. Amen. We call it the sword of the Spirit because the Bible says that. But I'll tell you what, as opposed to the sword of the Spirit, the NIV must be a butter knife. Well, not only that, but let me tell you something. We got some strange brethren. That one over here a couple of while ago sit by me and put some money in my hand and said, brother, I love you. And he kissed me. And I about crawl under the pew. That's strange. But lad, hey, he's old enough to be my grandpa. And I count it a blessing. But you know what? There's something strange about us that people that the world don't know anything about. Amen. We got a strange battle. Amen. We're going back into battle. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Bible, Paul talked about that. The Bible says there, he said, I have fought a good fight. Many of us are, the battle's already going on. We just took a little R&R. You know, when I, back in 1972, when I went to, in the military, you know what? They taught us about how that, you know, during the Vietnam War, that every once in a while when the battle was going, that the soldiers, to keep them from getting burned out and to get them bummed out, you know, they'd give us what they call R&R. That was rest and restoration. Amen. But you know what? That's kind of like what we had this week. Most of us are facing battles back home. Most of us got a real war going back home. But thank God we can come to Magic City Jubilee. Amen. Get some R&R. I'm talking about revival and restoration. Amen. Amen. Get that old believer. Get revived again. Get some of that power that we need. Amen. Back into our soul. So we can get out there. And folks, that's what we've been praying about. Amen. Listen, I'm talking about the loss ain't got nothing to do with that. They don't have no idea what we're talking about tonight. But I want to tell you tonight, folks, what a blessing it is to be a part of a battle that's going on. Amen. These battles are personal. I'm telling you, they're all of us that have our own. And we become discouraged. We become defeated. Amen. I think it was Bob Jones Sr. that said, you know, as far as getting defeated, he said, the test of a character in a man is what it takes to stop him. You know, we've heard a lot about character this week, amen? Some of us probably came out here beaten down, defeated. It seemed like, you know, everything's not going right. But I'll tell you what, folks, you left that same work that's back there. It's still the same. It's still heading that same direction, and yet it's still got its problems. But thank God you took a stop here. God's going to do something for you this week. And you said, God's done something for me now. I'm ready to get back in there. Now it's time to go back to war. It's time to get back in that. Listen, it takes real character, folks, to follow the one whom they despise. It takes real character to follow the one that the crowd denies. And I want to say it takes real character tonight to follow the godless powers that oppose us tonight, that they call him dead. I want to tell you, yes, he died, but the Bible says, I'm he which is that liveth and was dead, and behold, I'm alive forevermore. Amen. And had the keys of death. Hey, folks, I'm glad I'm following a living Savior tonight. Amen. Folks, yes, he died. The crowd likes to think he's dead, but folks, you can go out here and find any religious religious leader's graveyard or his tomb, and his bones are still there. But I'll tell you what, Jesus Christ, you could not find any evidence of that on this world. Hey, tonight he's sitting in the right hand of the Father. Amen, folks. And I'll tell you tonight, folks, I'm serving a real Savior. Amen. Folks, he's been here this week. He's the one this week that encouraged you. He's the one this week that calmed your fears. He's the one this week, folks, that pumped some zeal into you. Amen. He's the one that gave you, folks, some holy boldness this week. Thank God for holy boldness. I think of those disciples in John 21 who got discouraged and weren't going back to fishing. Let me just say that there are some things that will keep you from getting results in God's work. And they're there. Matter of fact, they were out of, I'll just give you this, I believe they were out of fellowship with the Father. They got out of the Father's will. That keep you from doing God's work. Some of us came here, I'm sure, you know, having doubts in some areas in our life, you know. But another problem is they were following Peter instead of the Lord. That's another thing, get people discouraged. Following man. Man will disappoint you. We found out this week that we need to get back on course with the Lord. Get back to what we're supposed to be doing. And you know what? Another thing was they were fishing for themselves. They got out of God's plan. And then fourthly, I want to say they were, you know what? They had forgotten the Lord's plan. That's why God ordered this meeting for us this week. Regardless of who you are, how far or how close you live, and how far you got to go back, folks, the orders is the same. Today, it's time to go back to battle. But God says, I expect some things out of this meeting. I expect some people to be different out of this meeting. I expect to see some folks dedicated out of this meeting. Amen. The altar's been full every night. But there's some folks, see, like the same ones are coming. Some of you haven't even made a trip into this altar yet. Would be a shame tonight that you went home the same way. That'd be a shame. Why is that we have to be told and primed and begged and, hey, almost bribed just to get to an old-fashioned altar? Why couldn't we just come and leave R&R? Amen. So this week it's been the time of challenging. It's been the time of encouragement. You know, it's a time to charter back on course. And we've been called back into battle. And here's God's expectation. Some things we can take back to our churches where the battle is. Some of you, it's been a real battle coming to church, but this ain't the battle. Some people say, boy, it's been hard getting up. Hey, it wasn't for me. Most people around here get up later than I do. There wasn't no test for me. I went up to Alaska. Those people, they said, you know, they're the first one up, last one to bed. They can, just outdo everybody. I went up there. I found out to be a lie. Brother Charlie and I went over there. We're the first ones at church, Brother Charlie. So where are these guys? And they just live around the corner. I said, we either have a meeting or what? I don't know what it was, but I got an idea what it is, Brother Charlie. Every one of them people we met had a lot of kids, 10, 11 kids. But I want to say tonight, God expecting some things from all of us. I want you to take your Bibles and let me give you these. The text that I want to read here, 2 Timothy chapter 4. Verse 6, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but to all of them also that love His appearing. You know, I want to say, you know, some things that God would want us to take back. God expects us to take some things back. Number one, you know what? When we get back, we need to just say this, you know, to ourselves right now. Say, you know, I'm going to go back and evangelize somebody. I'm going to evangelize a sinner. I'm going to get somebody saved. I'm going to get somebody to church. You realize that I'm up here and somebody called me and they just had a marital problem and I got that boy to come to church Sunday? See, if I could do that from here, certainly, surely you can go in your community and get somebody to go to church with you Sunday. This boy said, I got a lot of trouble, and you know, I heard about your church, but I'm not really wanting to come to church. But he said, I just wanted to know if you could help me with my problem. And I said, I'm not a problem solver, but Jesus is. I said, he could be found Sunday over at my church. He said, well, I'll come then. I said, fine, okay. And we hung up and said, okay, we'll see each other. You got a preacher coming in Sunday, and you get to talk to him, you know, and I'm hoping that he'll get saved. I'm hoping that, you know, he's open. Amen. Listen, folks, go home and win somebody to God. Get involved in a church visitation. I have a man in my church that says, I just go and visit when I feel like it, brother. And I said, the problem with that, brother, as I said, first of all, I said, you're not following the plan of the church. And therefore, you're rebelling against leadership. God put me in charge here. I'm the leader here. And say, we're not passing this church. I am. And I said, and you're supposed to help me. And I said, number two, I said, it's better. The Bible says when two go together rather than just one. And I said, we need to do this the way God wants us to do it. He's slowly coming around. But folks, we need people to get involved in visitation. I mean, give out some gospel tracts. Hey, they work. You're looking at a boy that read a gospel tract. As much as I didn't like that preacher, I read what he gave me. And next day I found myself at church, and when you know it, I got saved. Hey, you never know. Hey, why don't you go home and take a Sunday school class? You don't have to know everything. Some of you think, boy, I got to go to school and learn that. No, you don't have to learn nothing. Just go and teach somebody the Bible. You know, as a Christian man, that was on his way to church, and he spotted four boys sitting on the sidewalk. He invited them to go with him, promising to start a new Sunday school class with these four. You know what? Those four boys, they accepted the invitation. And years passed, you know, and the original group scattered. But on his birthday in 1932, he received a letter from each of these boys. One of them had become a missionary to China. One was the president of the Federal Reserve Bank. One was the private secretary to President Herbert Hoover. And the fourth was President Herbert Hoover. Hey, you never know who you're going to get yourself, your class into. I mean, someone you're going to get in your class to could be the next person that will shake the world, will influence some people. You never know who you got, folks, until you go up there and try to reach them. Hey, let's go this week. Hey, decide tonight. Hey, I'm going to go back and evangelize a sinner. Look what he said there in verse number 5. But watch down all things and dear affliction. Do the work of an evangelist. Evangelize a sinner. Number 2, in James chapter 1, verse 2 says this. I realize I got another man behind me, and he might give you that good, sweet message. We're just trying to give you something to go home on. Amen. You know, it's these instructions that help me, you know. I can shout it out in a good message, but you know what? It's these things that really get down deep in the part of my heart that really do something for me. James chapter 1, look in verse 12. Most of you know this verse. Blessed is the man that endures temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Endure the trials. Bible says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy was set before him, endured the cross, despised the shame, and sat down on the right hand of God. You know, troubles are good for us, no matter what you think about them. Troubles are good teachers. They'll teach you something. While it's teaching you something, it'll toughen you up for something. And while it's teaching and toughening you up for something, you know what? It'll also make you tender towards some things. And I'll tell you, one of the things we don't like today, folks, is that, you know, we don't want to be taught. We think we've arrived. We've already figured out how it's going to go. You know, I think about this enduring trials. I come in here. Every time I come here, I look at that tree over here with that swing on it. That thing is so massive. And if you don't understand where I'm from, man, I'm telling you, our trees back home, we think they're pretty big, but Brother Charlie said, they're bushes compared to mine. So I agree with him. I look at them trees and they're so big. Isn't that right, Navos? That's some huge trees. Every time I look at that one, man, it looks like it grew about maybe another foot this way and about another 10 feet that way. And I'm just amazed. The other morning, I was looking at it, my soul. I told my wife, I said, I wonder how in the world this tree ever got here. And she said, probably over 300 years ago, some little bitty squirrel took a little acorn. It took a little acorn and just spread it right there and that, where that tree grew up. And I got the thing of my soul, you know. I thought about, you know, it took all these years for that seed to get down there, and then here it is. It took many years before we saw the results of it. And I got to thinking about how, you know what? But the seed that we plant, it might take until eternity to find out the results of what that seed produced. Amen. So, hey, folks, let's just endure affliction. Let's just keep on keeping on. Hey, let's not quit. Let's just keep planting seed. Let's just keep going. Amen. Number three, 1 Peter chapter 5, 1 Peter 5, verse 4. Bible says, and when the chief shepherd shall appear, he shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. I don't know if some of you are following this closely, but you know, when you go in an evangelized center, God said you're going to get a crown. You endure trials, God said you're going to get a crown. When you encourage the flock of God, you're going to get a crown. Amen. Listen, if you got nothing else, you know, just give a testimony of what God's done for you this Sunday when you go back to church. Amen. Just brag about the goodness of God. Bible says the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. There will be some folks in there that say, man, God's been so good to him. And God's been, he's an illustration of the goodness of God. And I want that in my life. And he might find him at the altar saying, hey, pray, preacher, won't you come and help me pray about this? I want what you got. You know, we talk about, you know, encouraging the flock here. You know, people back home, there's some folks, like Brother Charlie says, that haven't been to camp meeting like you have. But they're going to look at you and see if there's any difference about you when you get back. What a wonderful opportunity. What a good opportunity for you to, hey man, to shine for Jesus. Amen. Think about His goodness, His grace. Think about your growth. Think about how much you grew this week. How about your giving? Amen. I'd like to have Brother Harry and Brother Tinney at my church. Amen. Sunday. I'll tell Harry, Harry, you move first. Put something on the offering plate and watch the people move. Then we'll get Brother Tinney with the offering plate. Brother Tinney, put something in there. Watch the people move. Some of you move because they did. Hey, let's be honest. I don't think God touched your heart. I think these men, what they did to Jesse, he said, man, that's a good thing, and you got in on it. But in the process of that, you learn about giving. Yes. Jesus didn't say it's more blessed to give than receive. Amen. You know, some of the most stingy people I know are people that don't want to grow. Or people don't talk about God's grace. Or people that don't talk about God's goodness. Amen. Let me just say this. It says there in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2, it says, preach the word. That means feed the flock of God. Encourage your church. You know, I get these young people to come around, you know, to wherever meetings we go to, and you know, and they like that preaching. You know, they like the singing, they like to shout out, but they hang around for preaching. And you couldn't preach hard enough for them. But it's always those stinking adults. They can't hack it. Oh, they'll go to these sports places. They'll go to their fishing hole and just endure all day long. They eat everything, you know. They go to these sports activities. But you get them in the house of God, man. Before too long, man, something start nodding off. And, some start looking at Baptist salute, you know. And, I mean, they do everything else. And they accept what God's had for them, you know. And that's a shame today in the lives we live in. Hey, folks, the Bible says preach the word. And it says, it goes on and it says reprove, rebuke. And then it says, it goes and says exhort with all longsuffering. Sometimes you get up there and you rebuke people, and I mean, you just go after them and you reprove them, and man, the crowd thins out and there's hardly nobody to encourage. Or nobody to exhort. Everybody left. Everybody leaves before that. You know, we need to decide to go home and, you know, get under that preaching. Man, just get along with your preacher. Amen. Encourage them. Do what you can. Preach them to death. Bury them outside. Get another one. Amen. Now, number four, I want to say, hey, you got some energy to run this week. You know what you need to do with it? You need to exercise it. Look back over there and look up back over there in 2 Timothy. The Bible says there, Paul's speaking here. He said, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. That's talking about kind of like a track race. You know, I used to run track in high school. Probably don't look like it, but I did. I'll give you something. You know, when I went to high school in my sophomore year, I could outrun everybody on the football team with pads. And the coach couldn't believe it. So one day he said, here's a football. Do you know how to hold it? I held it. He said, okay, that's good enough. He said, I want you to be my running back. And I was the running back. While I was doing the running back, the track coach came by and he said, in the spring, you come run out for me. You know, when I used to run, in those days, he used to have the 50-yard dash, the 100-yard dash, the 200-yard dash, the 440-yard dash. I used to run those blocks, you know, and he used to always get on me. He'd come over there and both just rail on me and chew me out. What's wrong with you? Did you know you don't get disqualified for that? Get in that thing. Get that butt up. Get that front down. Get down in that stance. Boy, and sometimes I want to just jump up and say, hey, how come you're not bothering them? You know, one day I got to thinking about it. He said, I know what you're thinking. We're in the shower. So I know what you're thinking. He said, you're thinking why I'm not picking on them guys. He said, you're my horse. He said, we win these track meets because of you. You're the best guy in the state. And he said, we're going to beat him. And that's why I stay on you. You realize tonight, folks, you as a child of God, got a race to run. And God's got everything on you. God says, you're my best horse. I need you in that race. So he gets down on you and tell you, hey, and you know what? When you get out of them blocks, you start running. You just don't go and kind of trot over to somebody else's course and over that line. You got to stay in there. That's why God gave you King James Bible. To stay the course. Amen. There's rules to follow. Amen. Folks, nobody in here ever lives on their own the way they want all the time. Most of us got to live by rules. No matter where you go, there's rules. And that's why this week God spoke to you and said, hey, why don't you get back out there, folks, and exercise according to the rules and run that race. Paul said, you know, not that I beat it up in the air and all this stuff. He said, but you know what? He said, I run a course. Get back on track, is what he's saying. Then I want to say, in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me in that day, not to me only, but unto all also of them that love His appearing. Number five, I want to say, go home expecting the Lord to come. Amen. Don't ever forget that this week it's been preached. He could come anytime. Amen. You know, we need to live like we're ready to go. You know, one of the best things about expecting somebody is, you know, back in 1863, the Navajos were a bunch of, you know, wild Indians out there in the reservation. They had no reservation. They had no control. They had no order. They were just out raiding different villages and raiding townships and just raiding people. And every once in a while they team up with Apaches and they go out and raiding parties and raid a bunch of people. And the Union Army ordered Colonel Kit Carson to go out there on the reservation. And he built a fort at Fort Defiance. And he said, call all these Navajos in. Round them up. He said, we got to get this raiding and this raping and all this stuff stopped. He said, we're going to have to get these Indians under control. Kit Carson went in there and he killed a whole bunch of them. But he finally had a bunch surrender. And he marched them 300 miles east. 18 days. Many of the elderly, many of the folks along there died along the way. They got there. They were poverty stricken. Sometimes there was no food. And the Indians died off. And then sometimes the Navajos would raid the Apache barracks and steal their food. Sometimes the Apaches or the Comanches would come and they would steal each other's food. Finally, in 1868, they signed a treaty. And they said, you Navajos can go home. So they started marching back the 300 miles back to Arizona. They marched, and going was tough, going was hard. They wanted to go home. They were longing for home. But right before they got to Albuquerque, they heard word from the Canyoncito Navajo band that one of the chiefs named Barbancito, who had not surrendered, had been hiding out way back in Navajo land. They said that he was bringing food. He's bringing venison. He's bringing cattle to meet the people. And the people were still sad. They said, I'll believe it when I see it. And they said they got up there on the other side of Albuquerque. They said one guy looked out from that hill and he saw just a whole bunch of dust way out yonder. And he looked up there and he looked there for a long time. And he came back to Manolito, the chief, and he said, Chief, he said, I think we're almost home. He said, there's a whole dust out there. Somebody's coming. And about that time, when they topped that hill, here come Barbancito. He had all kinds of food, and he had blankets, and he had everything for the Indians. You know what? Instead of the Indians running over there and picking up the blankets and running with them, you know what they did? A story says that they fell to their feet. They were so overcome with emotion. And they started weeping. And they said, this is our home. We've come home. And they started, the story says how they through the whole Indian tribe, so much emotion came in that the soldiers dismounted their horses and they went to those Indians. They sat with them and they just wept with them. And I read that, and boy, I tell you what, I got to thinking about that. I got to thinking about the Indian wars across this country, Brother Mark. But then I thought about how, you know, when that chief showed up, you know, it encouraged the hearts of these Indians. They forgot about all the problems, their differences, and they got the troops together, and they was hugging each other, and all the differences were settled. Nobody even cared what color each other was. And I want to tell you, one of these days, hey, folks, up there beyond the blue, it's going to come. Hey, a man called Jesus. Hey, his name is the chief cornerstone. He's going to come. And I'm going to tell you what, folks, color ain't going to matter no more. Hey, he's going to bring everybody together. And boy, I'll tell you what, we're going to sit at his feet and we're going to say, home at last. Amen, folks. Home at last. I'm telling you what, folks, has come in a day when we're going to meet our Savior. Amen. We're going to be there. We're going to rejoice in the fact that we see Him face to face. I don't know about you, but that's my chief. I'm looking for him. I'm going home more determined to evangelize sinner. I'm going home, you know, more determined to endure trials for him. I'm going home, you know, determined to be an encourager to my church. And I'm going home. Folks, I'm going home today expecting for him to come. Praise the Lord for my Savior. Folks, He's coming. Boy, there's going to be a day of reckoning when He comes. There's going to be a day of remorse. But thank God there's going to be a day of rewards. The day of reckoning, Bible says, knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. There's a day of remorse. Some are going to say, I wish I could have done more. But you know, some of us, we're going to say, glad day. Glorious day. Because we're going to hear the words, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Have you preached harder than you've ever preached, preacher? Or have you quit visiting and knocking doors? On a reservation, we've got a lot of Baptist churches. As far as I know, Benny's church and our church and Terrence church, the only ones knock doors. People come, I go to their door and they say, is it you again? I said, yeah, I'm it. I'm sorry. I'm it. As ugly as I am, I said, as ugly as I am, I said, I got the best news for you, the best deal. They're looking for somebody, but they didn't ever show up. Have you complained? Have you criticized? Have you cowered as a Christian? Let me ask you this tonight. Have you done your best for Jesus?